We're going to look now at the first reading on this Feast of All Saints. Why does the Church want to stop and honor and rejoice with all the saints? Because that's where we're going. If we lose that, as I started rereading this material I have here, I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody I knew who kept saying all the time, "Keep your eyes on the prize." This is very, very smart. You know, people who are like that, you know, I know a young couple with 3 children, 4 maybe, and their house just burned. I haven't seen them ruffled at all. And as a matter of fact, they're renting a nice place, thinking maybe we'll just buy this one, if we can make enough on the other one. But it's pretty difficult when, you know, like your whole living room or something goes up in flames. I mean, you're going to notice. But they're not distraught at all. Why? Well, because they know Jesus. And also because they are surrounded by real people who are real Christians who love the Lord and are helping them out every day. Have them over for dinner because the kitchen's still burnt. Have them over, you know. That's normal. And that's what this is all about. You see, what's the point of all this holiness? Trying hard to obey the Lord. Heaven. That's the point. We're not made to just live in this world, eat, drink, beget, be begotten, and so forth. No. Why did God make you? The first question in the catechism. God made me to know Him. To know Him. To love Him. To serve Him. And to be happy with Him forever in heaven. That's, as I remember, that's the first question and answer in the Baltimore Catechism. Why am I here? To know God. And if I know God, I will love Him. And if I know and love Him, I will obey Him. And my life will be led by Him. Oh, I'll goof. But my life will be led by Him so that when I die, I can be happy with Him in heaven forever. And the more we let the Lord prepare us in this life, the happier we are, the happier a lot of other people are, because we can love them and we can help them. And that's the whole reason why know Him, love Him, serve Him in this world, and be happy with Him forever in heaven. That's why we're made. And so, this text now is talking about the saints. So the first text is a vision of heaven. It's the book of Revelation, chapter 7, and verses 2 to 4 and 9 to 14. In between, if you might remember, there's the, you know, from the tribe of Judah, 10,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 10,000. Those passages were left out. So it's nice to hear them, you know, by the 12,000. Just hear it, 12,000. You know why that's important? Because the Jewish expectation was that when the Messiah comes, He was going to gather all the people together once again. They're in Babylon, they're all over the place, they're in Rome, and bring them together. And so, well, Jesus can't be the Messiah because He didn't gather the whole 12 tribes. Oh, no. What does it say in the book of Revelation? I saw them from this tribe and that tribe. Huh? Starting with verse 5 of this very text, from the tribe of Judah, 10,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, I'm sorry. 12. In other words, thousands and thousands. And they are all gathered together. All the tribes are represented in heaven. And so it's been fulfilled. What we want today is to just reflect on that. And so the text says, you see, that I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on land or sea or against any tree. This is the protection of the world, you see. Then I saw another angel come up from the east. And this is where our reading begins. It begins with this verse. I'm quite sure that's where it starts. Yeah, verse 2. Another angel came up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. And he cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. They've got to go around and mark us. Living or dead, we'll all be there. This one belongs to God. Where it says there in the Psalm 87, I think, this one and that were born in her. Talking about the earthly Jerusalem, but the heavenly Jerusalem. These are the citizens forever. Isn't that exciting? We get so worked up about everything. And some of it deserves a little working up. But part of it is just, where are you going? And so, then I saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels. Remember, the four angels were at the four corners of the earth. Do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were marked with a seal. 144,000 marked from every tribe of the Israelites. Then they're going to talk in a minute. A great multitude. Everybody else. You see? It's amazing. If you're in business and you don't call the whole leadership of the business together to say, where are we going? Are we headed to our goal? Are we contributing to reaching the goal, or are we going away from it? Only makes sense, doesn't it? To stop and think of the goal. This chapter in the book of Revelation, this chapter 7, is telling us it's okay to do that with your business, but it's much more important to do it with your life. Are you heading toward the goal of your existence or not? And you want to know what the goal of your existence is? Just read this chapter, which is describing the saints, those who are there ahead of us, who love us, who pray for us, who give us examples and encourage us. I saw the four angels, see, standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back these four winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on land or sea or against any tree. It's a harming wind. Then I saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. And they cried out, do not damage the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked. As I already said, this is the earliest verses of chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. And I'm reading now verses 1 to 4. Then there'll be a section from 5 to 8, which is skipped because it's, I heard 144,000 from here, 144,000 from there. And I guess the people making out the lectionary figure, if they have to listen to all that and don't know what it means, they could get bored, so we'll skip it. But we'll give them the idea, what's heaven all about? You see? And I heard the number of those who were marked with the seal, 144,000 marked from every tribe of the Israelites, okay? So that's what? That's 12,000 by 12,000. 144,000, okay? And so there's 12,000 from every tribe. Now, 1,000 for us is between 999 and 1,001. But here, you see, the word doesn't mean 1,000 on that 999, 1,000. It means a myriad. In fact, that's the word, actually. And then, as I said, 12,000 were marked from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, and so forth. And there, the 12 tribes are gathered together forever. And then, I had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated on the throne and on the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where do they come from?" I said, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb." Those are the heroes. Those are the ones who accepted the grace of witnessing to Christ and bearing that, you know, witness through to their death. And now they shine like the sun. You see, a little bit of difficulty here, and then look. See, Catherine of Siena used to say, even when she was being blessed by God and in ecstasy, "Lord, this is wonderful." Especially at communion, she used to say this. "But how long do we have to keep it up in symbol? I want to see you. I want to be with you forever." This is why the church stops and says, yes, we're honoring the saints, but we're also trying to stop to remember that's where we're going. That's where we're called. And as a friend of mine says, you know, shoot for heaven. And if you miss, you'll go to purgatory and you'll get there. If you're just shooting for purgatory and you miss, it's over. So shoot for heaven. Yearn for heaven. Do everything you can to be pleasing to God, to be joined to God, be talking to God, to know God, and start to yearn for where you're going. And then you'll stay out of sin. And if you don't succeed perfectly, that's what purgatory is for. But if you're thinking you're going to coast in and, you know, sneak into purgatory and you miss, the other choice is not very pleasing. And so that's the way that text. Imagine the millions of people. I mean, it'll take all eternity to meet them all. Tell me about your life. How did you first come to know the Lord? What was your life like? You were married? Were you single? Are your children here? Tell me about yourself. And there's just among the Jewish people, there's 144,000 from every tribe. So 12 times 144,000. I didn't even try to count that. But whatever it is, it's a lot. That's the gathering of the Jewish people there. Okay. And so then the psalm, you see, is celebrating all of that. "The earth is the Lord's and all it holds, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it on the seas." And then it's a pilgrim psalm that we sing. Going to the temple, going to church, going, but we're going to heaven. So that's why it says, "Who can stand in his holy place? The clean of hand and pure of heart." Clean of hand means you don't do anything wrong with your body. And you keep your heart pure and your motives pure. You're not being nice to somebody because they're going to be nice to you or lend you some money, but because they're Christ.